way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
I didn't contribute anything.
You guys act like you didn't grow up with Urban Dictionary terms.
Nope.
Oh, you guys, no, you guys had me. Your wholesome upbringing.
I heard my dad say darn once. And he apologized profusely.
Now anyone that knows your dad is just rolling right now.
Come around, boys. Let me tell you, I'm not too much of a man to admit when I was wrong. I used a very inappropriate word earlier. I'm not going to repeat it.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, episode 71. We are back after a couple weeks off, and we are sponsorless today. Just to remind you that sponsorships are available. Cost is $50 plus a beer of our choosing.
I guess a package of beer.
Well, I guess we'll let you choose too, but we have the right to veto.
What we mean is it's not like a Hurricane Tall Boy when we say a beer. We're not going to all split a 40 of oldie.
So do we have to go ahead and ban Bud Light from the studio now? Is that
we can let our sponsors, if they desire to ban whatever, bring whatever they bring, or don't bring whatever they don't want to bring. Because we had last night Bibles and beer,
of course.
And the other leader texted me earlier this week, and he's like, "So do you think we need to be considering banning Anheuser-Busch?" And I texted him back and said, "You're going, if that's fine, if that's what
you're
going
to have to do your research."
That's what I said. Right. I said, we're going to soon figure out that there isn't a beer left,
right,
other than very local small breweries that we're going to be drinking here. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm fine drinking these local brewers' beers, but you're going to be cleaning a lot more out of your fridge than you think you're going to be cleaning out of your fridge when we use this as our litmus test.
Right.
Yep. Well, maybe we'll just decide that the bad ones are the ones that really project it, not the ones that just kind of project it.
Well,
like the rainbow thing on their Twitter, right? Because they were all doing that. Even my beloved Sam's
had a rainbow.
Not without it.
They had a rainbow?
Yeah, not without their excitement for Pride Month. So it's like you're going to be throwing them all out.
I just don't have time to get mad about beer cans, like, yeah, whatever.
About so much other shit that you just don't have the time for.
Whether
beer cans.
I agree with it or not is immaterial.
But
it's
can you imagine? Okay, so you do that with beer, okay? Mm-hmm. But maybe you should consider doing that with all the food in your pantry,
mm-hmm.
because there's how many major corporations that control 90% of what comes in a box or a can in your pantry, and I guarantee you, every single one of them for Pride Month did something that you're not going to like either. So
Kid Rock didn't take an AK-47 to him, so I guess it's...
I mean, the fact that they're okay. I like the idea that you go out, purchase a bunch of their product, and then destroy it. Because that's a boost in sales.
Right. Right. Instagram clout or whatever mm-hmm. the hell he was trying to do.
I saw that Budweiser's stock is down 4%. Down 4% since the boycott began. Is that?
I don't know.
And maybe I've heard a lot.
You guys remember the Carson King thing, right?
Yep.
And I think that they were wrong about Carson King to dredge up something from when he was 16 that was ill-advised and offensive. Certainly, but from how many years prior, I don't know. The kid was trying to do a good thing, and then everybody, I will never, ever taste another Bush Light across my lips ever. Like the whole state of Iowa said that.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Two days. Yeah. I don't think it made it a month.
No, it definitely didn't.
Oh, we're cool again.
Wasn't there like a Carson Strong and stuff like that? And
the
t-shirts and whatnot.
And then remember the guy tried to start a, not rag bribe, but kind of rag bribe thing.
That's right, yeah.
He split off. He was the director, and because they were going to boycott the Register, and everybody was just like, I moved on to something else to be pissed about, so.
We're good here.
Whatever. And I think that's what will happen here. You know, some people probably will never drink another Bud Light. But I bet it's not the people that were drinking 12 Bud Lights a day.
You're 100%
anyway.
Correct.
Those people will circle back pretty quickly.
So I heard over the weekend one person that I know for a fact will never purchase Bud Light again because of this. And it is my mother-in-law.
What is she going to boil her brats in?
No. She buys it for us.
Oh!
You boys better find a new type of beer to drink because I'm not buying that anymore. Okay, sorry, okay. Grandma.
Well, that's why the stock's down 4%.
They heard what you do in her house.
Whatever. It's like, I'm not going to give up my Bush Light, though.
It's all going into the same
pockets. Yeah. And
there's probably far 50 enough down different the line. Types of beer.
But. And then, interesting to see how they've kind of vilified the marketing director that was responsible for all this. Like,
VP of marketing.
Let's look at her past. Ooh, scandal.
Yeah, and it was like, here she is drinking out of a solo cup in 2006.
Oh! It looks pretty frattish to me. Yeah, that was her deal. Like,
that was her deal. She was trying to shed the frat image. Of Bud Light.
Which is a stupid statement to make.
Which is way too expensive for anybody in a frat to be drinking. I'm sorry, but it's natty light.
If it's natural light, we riot. But yeah.
I would hate to see what people, if they would go, for example, Facebook brought something up to me. Every couple of days, it's like, hey, this day in history, you posted this on Facebook. And I wrote something 13 years ago the other day that I'd be like, what an idiot. I certainly wouldn't say it that way anymore or even post that at all. And right. Back then there must not have been, it wasn't structured the way it is today because there's like zero likes. It's like, ooh. Maybe everybody else thought the same thing I think now.
Well, half of my Facebook memories are half of a conversation that we were having posting on each other's walls.
Right.
Like, hey, you going to be around this weekend? And then, sure, beer's at whoever's place. I'm like, why was that a post?
Right.
I remember when you liked something, it could email all of your friends that you liked something.
And then it was very interesting. I learned a lot of things about a lot of people.
Some people don't
know yet that's how Twitter works.
Right. Yes. Oh, you're friends with that guy. Well, look what that guy likes. Probably like the same thing.
No,
I do not.
Out
of here.
And if only
didn't want to know that about that guy.
And if only that guy had like a good friend that could tell him that this is going on, but instead just decides to pretend like it doesn't happen and hang out and everything's cool.
I mean, you guys would tell me, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I would hope so. I do something so stupid.
You know what I saw him like the other day?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
What?
Corn-fed beef.
No.
Oh!
No, I did not.
Gotcha.
Did not.
Gotcha.
So that's... It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
The kids got
a hold
of it.
Yeah,
the
kids. That's my staff. My staff runs my social media. I think maybe what you're talking about was there was like a magazine that posted corn can lower the cost of inputs when fed to cattle. It's like, wow, big if true. I think we've been doing that for 70 years, maybe longer.
Because it decreases
the inputs of beef. It's like, whatever.
And makes it edible.
You shut your mouth.
it's been a while since we've all been in the same room. Probably pretty near since the last time we recorded.
I thought you were a week ahead when you texted wanting to record. I thought, wasn't that only last week?
Yeah, only finally getting weather that's decent out, so you don't feel like you're, yeah, you know, just dreading every single day.
Yeah, we went from 0 to 100 in no time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
80-some degrees outside today, 40-mile-an-hour wind.
Wayne went from sweating profusely to sweating profusely.
Mm-hmm. Ba-dum-ts.
Severe dehydration. But guys, I got to drink 2 gallons of water today to feed this sweat system I've got.
I mean, I need a haircut, and that's the biggest thing, is my furnace is, my air ducts are blocked, so the exhaust
is... That is a lot of surface area.
You got that right.
Yeah, your radiator is plugged.
Yes.
Why did you not get a haircut before your big reveal or big time...
So the
speaking
way,
engagement.
Yeah, I have no idea what it was. Just one day you were gone.
So the way that my haircutting system works is I've instructed my my personal stylist to tell me when it's time for a haircut. Okay, we'll see you in about 4 or 5, 6 weeks. We'll see how it goes. And I say, okay, just let me know. She hasn't gotten a hold of me, and so now, yeah, we're getting a little long here, and. Yeah, made for a interesting situation here this week. So, as you mentioned, I was gone. I was asked to be part of a roundtable for the Iowa Rural Summit.
Who was asked?
I was begged. No, I didn't say that.
To be the keynote speaker.
I didn't
you
say that.
Very prestigious
I didn't
conference.
See that either. I was part of a group that led off day two. Which is
it wasn't day one.
Wow, that's no good. Everybody skips day two. You go to the bar.
100% right. And yeah, we talked to the gal that was the head of the program. She's like, yeah, well, for a day two crowd, this is looking pretty good. I'm like, okay.
Well, I knew you were going to be there.
So I went down to Ames on Tuesday night and. Because the deal was like first thing Wednesday morning, so I wasn't about to wake up at like 4 a.m. to go do that, although it might have fared better if I did. But went down there Tuesday night, and then we got a hotel room. You know, they got one for me, and then ended up having...
They got a hotel for you?
Yeah, because I said I wasn't going to do it if I had to drive down. So, yeah, they got a hotel room for me.
You can make those kind of demands when you're as important as Wayne Barr at home.
Yeah, just saying. I tested well, I guess, right? So...
They got him the suite at the Motel 6.
No, it was the Best Western, but it wasn't the best one, I can tell you that. But it was adequate, and they had free breakfast, so I'm not complaining. So went out with a classmate on that night for supper, and then met up with a friend of mine who I used to live with, and... And did the Uber thing there and back, got back about a little after 11, I suppose. And I could not sleep. I couldn't, it just, the bed sucked and I don't know, like maybe a little nervous or whatever. I don't know whether I got to bed till like 1 or 2. And then I was up at 7, showered, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready to go. But I know that like right first thing in the morning, I'm hot. Like, if I get out, like the first thing when I get out of the shower, like I will sweat. If there's not some sort of air movement, that's just what happens. So I did the responsible thing.
Well, it is a lot of work showering, so I can see how you work up a sweat.
I know. So I did the responsible thing, and I just sat outside for like an hour. You know, after I was done showering and everything, I sat outside for
your towel.
Yeah, no, just put your underwear on and sat outside.
Hello. No, I sat outside and I had coffee and an apple juice, and I just enjoyed the cool spring air. And I was like, "All right, this is good. This is good. I'm feeling good. The sweating part of me is gone." Like, okay, let's go kick names and take ass. Let's go. So got over there, and then I walk in, and suddenly it's like 80 degrees in there.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's probably 72, but for me it was like 80. I'm like, oh crap.
You were wearing shorts.
I know, dude. I know. It's because my radiator's plugged.
You should have gone the Aaron route of just one shirt. The fact you wore like a 20-pound cotton tee underneath of your Baumgartner.
I'm guessing the Bomgar's button down is probably not the most breathable shirt either.
Yeah, it's true.
Those two things put together had an R value that was well beyond what your body could handle at that point.
No, the exhaust was not working. So we're the first ones up, and so then that sweat starts hitting the brow. I keep excusing myself to the bathroom to dot the brow.
Off the stage?
No.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was before we went on, and so then I look at the stage, and I'm thinking like, okay, it's like a panel, right? You know, where you'd have a table, maybe some water, and you'd have a microphone or whatever. No, it's like these lazy boy recliner things.
I would have fallen asleep. You're in under hot lights.
Yes.
Hungover.
And I'm like, perhaps. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, in a soft chair.
Oh. Why not a table with, some skirting so I can, hide my sweat cloth underneath and dab the brow every once in a while? And so we get started, and I'm just like, just warm, just very warm, and it just keeps getting worse, and finally it's my turn to speak, and so I'm like, hey, name's Wayne Barahona, I own a business called Super High Tech, I'm normally an IT guy, so you'll have to forgive the flop sweat that's going on when I'm talking in front of a couple hundred people. And they laughed.
At least they hopefully all understood.
They did.
Very uncomfortable, nervous laughter.
No, it was fun.
Get him a towel.
So we were up there for an hour. Lieutenant Adam Gregg was in attendance, so maybe he'll remember the fat, sweaty man that was talking about business resources. But
was he the one that made the inappropriate joke about sweat?
Not everybody from Northwest Iowa is like that, guys. I promise.
But no, actually, it went really well. So after about the first 10 minutes, then I cooled down and things were started relatively okay.
Like a headband.
Well, yeah. I was thinking about that when I was on stage. Like, is there any way I could have gotten away with that? Like, as a fashion accessory?
Bandana or some sort of do-rag.
Skull cap?
A do-rag. Yeah, that would look good.
Let me rode the Harley down here. Because that's how we roll in rural Iowa. As we own businesses. But no, it was actually a really good time. We did like 20 minutes worth of Q&A, and
anybody ask you any questions?
Oh yeah, no, they're most.
So do you
most
of the questions were for you? Yeah,
well, I won't say most of the questions I answered because
nobody else knew the answer. But you did because
you talked over everyone.
I didn't talk over?
You were the
them.
Only man on the stage. I need to say that too. As we're saying, you're talking this over
thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
Let me mansplain this for you.
No, it's.
I feel I'm probably the best up here to answer this.
No, it's.
Which
it's
led
a lot.
Every answer he gave.
It's a lot like my philosophy on four-way stops. Sure. If there's a gap, I'm going.
And you were trained that way because you understand silence is bad.
That's right. 100%.
Somebody's got to jump in and take
some
silence.
Sometimes silence can indicate that you're taking a moment to contemplate what you're about to say versus just...
Nah, but when you're as passionate as
vomit,
I am...
But, yeah, okay.
When you're as passionate as I am, you're just a vessel for the information. I mean, really, I was just speaking my heart's language.
So when you were done, how many people came and wanted to exchange they like email addresses so that way they could ask you
six
questions?
Six or seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Among greatness, we are. Mitch.
I literally tried to just beeline it out because I was like, oh my God. This is so embarrassing. I just need to get out of here. And then I was just like, Wayne, you did such a good job. And then it was just going from one person to the next person. And yeah,
I felt the same way.
I had one woman tell me that it was the best part of the entire conference. I'm just like, wow. That's
so was
not,
this,
not me what? Necessarily, but the panel that we had.
The panel that was entirely filled by me was the best part of the entire conference.
So
surface area wise, it was.
Did they not have a cocktail reception the night before? Because that is the best part of any conference I've ever been to.
And I feel bad now that I was told I should have gone. Like I didn't actually register for this thing. Like I'm not like an actual participant. I was is just asked to speak, but they're like, oh, no, you had a name tag and everything. You could have come and had all the free stuff. Like, rats.
Well, it's probably good for you that you didn't go to an open bar.
It's true. That's true.
Before your speaking engagement.
Well, yeah, and I was, you know, I felt like I was being pretty responsible. Like, I had a couple drinks with dinner and then went over to my buddy's house and I drank a couple of Angry Orchards because that's what they had. So, yeah, you can imagine I just downed those. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And then you followed that up with apple juice in the morning.
Morning. Mixed with coffee. Did you have to pass a drug test the next day or what?
felt my sugar level was a little low.
Now I'm pre-diabetic. But
so I've told people that I could go to a seminar, sit on a panel, and give you every right answer about heating and cooling and running a business. But don't come to my office and see how I do heating and cooling and run my business. Right.
100%, yes.
So were you answering the questions right, not how you actually do
correct.
It?
Correct.
Right. Okay. That's what made it fascinating.
I start every day with meditation. Then after that, I usually tidy up the office.
No, I get in at 5 to 6 every morning.
The majority of what I was talking about is like how I was really, really dumb and then took this class and now I'm just sort of dumb. So that was, and it was, yes. But it was the majority of the people that were there were like your economic development people or your city managers or people like that. So I was speaking as like, hey, look, you as leaders of your communities need to make sure that you're supporting your small businesses. And there's a lot of programs and a lot of things out there to help get businesses started. But there is not a whole lot out there to help the person who is in year 2, year 3, year 4. You're over the initial hump to try and get you to that next level where you can achieve sustainability. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen, especially like in our downtowns, where you have the people that start the business and think, oh, yeah, no, it's going good. Like, I have money. I don't know how much, but there's some in the account. And then, yeah, a year or two goes by, and then suddenly they shut the doors because they're not able to take that next step from being the technician to being the owner. You know, the whole thing of working on your business versus working in your business, you know, so just really talked about how there are like even, you know, obviously I was there to speak about the program that I was part of, but just that there were so many resources like through the community colleges, through the state, through the federal government. There's all these different resources that are available and all you need is just like a particular conduit of information, and that's what I was imploring to these city officials and these chamber officials, be that conduit. Help your local people grow because that means increased tax base, that means more jobs, and that means people staying here because, you know, the whole one of the underlying themes of it being rural Iowa.
I feel like we're on the panel with him.
watching him go.
I'm talking with my hands. And
I have to come?
But one of the underlying themes, of course, is that, especially in rural Iowa, you get a lot of people that are like, oh, man, I can't wait to leave this godforsaken place and go to somewhere where there's some fun. Why can't we have a Walmart? I almost went into that diatribe, but I took it back. But, you know, the idea is that if you can incentivize entrepreneurs and or at least show people that just because they have a crazy idea doesn't mean that maybe it's so crazy. Because if you can follow use the resources available and follow these particular course of action, then suddenly it's not so crazy. Suddenly it's actually achievable. And then suddenly you're starting to build something that could be not only self-sustaining, but also provide jobs for others. So
were they these economic development directors that came up and gave you their cards? Were they trying to recruit a branch of super high tech to their town?
Have you ever thought about a franchise?
I have. I actually, that was part of like my growth plan when I was in school, the Goldman Sachs 10,000 small businesses program.
10,000 small businesses for us to say sorry. Sorry for what we did in 2008.
Well, there may be some truth in that, but still, that was kind of part of the plan, but I get queasy when I start thinking about managing more employees. Oh, man, that. And, you know, we talk about like how these wide swath of businesses, you get businesses that from all over, from maid cleaning services to IT. I sat next to a gal that ran a quilt shop, but all these like business problems are the same. Like Aaron and I, we talk all the time about the usually the crap parts of our businesses, how, you know, the, whether it's dealing with employees, dealing with customers, yeah, dealing
with, if you didn't have to deal with employees and you didn't have to deal with customers, business would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be very profitable.
No, it wouldn't exist. But boy, would it be fun.
But in knowing that that a lot of people share these common problems, then there becomes like this group of people that, you know, because your wives are sick of hearing about it, your kids don't want to hear about it, your friends don't care because they can't relate. So it's really just a whole lot of fun.
The three of us relate with each other. That's how this all started years ago.
That's
before
true.
We had
that's
microphones.
True. Correct.
I feel like you guys are exchanging notes underneath the table as I
no texting each other.
No, not at all. Sorry, I just said it. I didn't mean to ignore what you were saying.
No, just because you answered a text and then all of a sudden Aaron started to giggle. Like, are you looking at my flop sweat, Mitch?
Can't see it from here. But I know it's there.
Sure as the tomorrow will come.
Usually it's the third segment when you pontificate on business for an extended length of time.
You gave me the opening. I took it. We can be done with it. And we can get into segment two.
And what did we expect when we knew he, out of the five people there, he was 80% of the talking. So we shouldn't expect
say in any business, 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
That would make sense.
Wayne
That's
just happens
what
to be
happened.
The 20%.
You were 20% of the people there that did 80% of the work.
And accounted for 50% of the weight. No. Well, they were smaller. Anyway, a lot of fun. If you're a small business owner that's listening, I encourage you to check out 10ksb.com or the Iowa Rural Development Summit. And the Iowa Rural Development Council, there's a lot of resources out there.
Or talk to your agent about speaking engagements.
That's right.
And if you, too, would like to have Wayne Barahona come speak at your event.
Could you imagine that if that was my job where all I had to do was go around and talk?
It's a good life.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to get paid a hell of a lot more than I did the last time I tried to do that for a career. But I think I'd be all right with it.
You know all the right answers.
That's true.
That's all you have to do.
And I can usually word vomit enough that if I have to stall to try and get to the next one.
I've seen a lot of terrible speakers that do it professionally and seem to make a living at it. So I'm sure you could,
should be fine.
You could do that too.
And what's the underlying message here? If you can dream it, you can do it.
No.
What?
That's the worst advice ever.
You're just mad that you missed your chance of professional discus with A.G. Krueger. You could have been a hammer thrower.
Yeah.
But you were too scared.
You were that good?
No,
I was good
he was
enough
there.
To throw alongside him.
They're not selective about who throws in a high school meet.
Not at all.
Okay.
I was the only discus thrower. The only shot thrower, too, for a couple years. At like 150 pounds, 6 foot.
Wow. I'm just trying to imagine you like with a size 32 waist.
Oh, back then it was probably a 30.
Shit.
That's what Ace is in right now.
No.
And he's got a belt up. Yeah.
No. Wow.
I make Wyatt wears 31s. Sorry, son.
You are a geese after all. And with that, we'll take our first break. Back with segment two after this.
I don't buy it. I think it was.
I did like, not
I
delete
did not
shit.
Run the risk of offending the only people who like me
on Friday and Saturday.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
We like him on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Good grief. Hey, just so you know, we are recording right now. So if you want to publicly talk shit about people, go for it.
We weren't. What are you talking about?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Whatever.
No.
Oh, as a moment passed. Now, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
We were talking smack about anybody.
No, we were not. We were having fun with the fact that you had a birthday party, and there were professional photos.
From a cell phone.
And then there were professional photos
with the real friends.
With the real friends, minus... And that's where the joke about how you can have your wedding party and then you have a couple photos with the ushers and then you say, okay, please excuse us, ushers, Mitch and Greta. We're going to have the party here.
So who do you think took those pictures? Who do you think?
No idea.
Yeah. You wouldn't have any idea because you weren't freaking there. So I don't want to hear any of
your BS.
Well,
I know the ones without us in them were taken by my wife because it was like, here, now that we,
you're not in them.
Now that we, you know, gave you the courtesy of including you in a few photos that we'll delete later.
We'll send them to you.
There we go. There we go. Yes. Yes. Feel the hate build inside you. Yes.
There's no hate. I just thought it was funny.
Good.
Mitch, go buy a round of beers for all my real friends, will you, bud? Come on.
The front door. My goodness.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there to... And at least you and I could have visited.
We would have been at the bar making this joke at the time.
Well, Wayne had the ladies of South Ninth sitting on your lap for photos.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
Ladies of South Ninth. Is that a calendar?
That would be very awkward. Yeah, but I don't know. My wife would be all into that. That's for sure. But, you know.
But right now, I'm missing. I like to miss things.
Whatever. You're the athletic supporter of the year.
I'm not. My wife has been
180.
Gone. No, my wife has been to everything for ASA. Tonight, ASA is long jumping and doing the 4x1 right now as we speak.
Was it when we recorded 2 weeks ago that he was at his first
soccer game? Maybe?
No, you were missing a track meet. Yeah, you were no, because it was the track meet. Because that was when
he went and picked him up and then came. No.
Well, the thing about it, though, to excuse your, you know, absence, is that the field events are first and they're at like 4:30.
And the 4x1 is
the very last event of the whole night.
That's terrible.
No. Imagine. She's like, I'm going to pick up the 4x1 too. Like, you could just see my wife just go.
Oh, great.
Oh, that'll be fun sitting there for 3 hours.
How do you even stay warm for that when you're like three hours later? No, I guess. Yeah.
It's not normally this warm in April. You bring your blanket or you'll sit in the vehicle, I guess. But apparently he did really well. Earlier this week, he played some JV soccer, which we were talking about off air. Success breeds success and the culture and the kids want to be part of it. Well, that's happened with soccer to where hardly anybody wants to do track. So Asa, as a freshman, never really have done long jump, know anything about it, says, I want to do long jump. And coach says, you're starting varsity.
Well,
as the only long jumper.
Well, didn't he do it because there was no one else to do it?
There was nobody else doing it.
So he decided he was just going to step up and do it.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, good for him.
And he did well good enough. I'm like, I'm buying my boy shoes. Well, so him wearing these not shoes for long jump while long jumping. I'm going to get him real.
And then he tried, right?
He was like Jim Thorpe at the Olympics. Someone stole his shoes and dug them out of the trash.
Yes. Asa wasn't quite that bad off as Jim Thorpe, but no, he did really well today, I guess. So pretty exciting. He had 2 goals earlier this week in soccer, so he's proving himself.
Is he still talking smack to the other team?
No, he's done. The screaming at the poor Hispanic boy in the one photo that he had. Dad, I'm not. That looks terrible. I know, but he's like 4 feet closer to the camera than I am. And, well, it sure looks like you're screaming at him. Well, you better crop that out. Mm-hmm. Now you're just screaming at the air.
Yes. Rather than being borderline racist, we're just going to make it look
one
like
one of the
you're...
boys didn't want to shake my hand in the line after the game.
Imagine that.
Really?
Maybe it's because you celebrated right in his face.
Wow, that's like a middle school thing, though. We had a basketball tournament a couple weeks ago, and during the game, like, we told the boys, if they're going to put up threes, we're not going to go out and contest the shot. You need to, you know, hang back, play defense so they can't drive. And Wyatt, there's a kid out by the 3-point line, keeps faking like he's going to shoot. And Wyatt's like, come on. Come on, I dare you. Oh, you ain't going to make it. Like right in the middle of the game, and we're right by the bleachers. I'm like, knock that shit off right now.
Time out. Subs.
Son, sit down.
He's like, I wanted them to shoot. I'm like, I know, but that looks terrible.
Yeah.
Don't. Just yeah, no. Yeah. No. Stop nope. it.
Yeah. No.
They got to go through that phase because they watch the pros and stuff do
it. And he was, it's not like he was doing the you can't see me.
Yeah, it wasn't Caitlin doing Clark.
That. Yep. He wasn't doing that.
Well, it's okay if you're not right next to the person.
Oh, it's, no, it's okay if it's in general.
Right, yeah.
It's like, not okay like if you the world chase them can't around.
See yeah. me.
I know.
Yeah, but it's, so.
I just think it's funny Caitlin Clark didn't really care about it. Oh, yeah. Her thing was like, else.
I don't know why they're getting mad at her. I think mm-hmm. it's part of the game and it's a lot of fun. And right. I have a lot of respect for her. She's a great player.
Yeah.
And everybody else is like, well, this isn't playing into my narrative.
No, but, yeah. but I already posted on Facebook 8 times.
You need to be mad.
No, the 100%, if you're going to dish it, you have to, or if you're going to take it, if you're going to dish it out, you have to be able to take it.
Yeah.
And that's, and she did.
Yep. I compliment Caitlin Clark for that. I probably wouldn't have taken yep. it that well because the reaction from the LSU player was over the top and mm-hmm. and worse than what she had done. But on the other hand, hey, I guess yeah.
Yeah, yep. but if Caitlin just would have right? yep. accepted it, turned and looked and received it eye to eye, it would have been over. But she didn't.
No,
she kept
no.
zigzagging to get away from her.
No,
you need to take
no,
it.
No. I don't
know,
think that's
I just
the thing.
That part.
Okay, I see. No. You're so, being facetious.
Ace is having he's torn between having the fun of being in track, being varsity long jumper, and the fun of playing JV soccer, his number one love of sport. And it's like,
how is that even a decision?
It's tough because, so today he's missing a soccer game to do long jump. Now, are the coaches going to look on that and say, you're obviously not dedicated to your team. You're going to get Doc playing time. They're not supposed to.
Oh, they will, though.
Because he's not dedicated to his team.
Well, if everybody did that, they wouldn't be able to have the soccer game, right?
True. Yeah. And with Western having success with soccer, they are struggling to get people. So Asa, he's missed like the last 2 or 3 track meets. And now he can just decide to come to one and he jumps because nobody else is.
Right.
Well, I don't
right.
even know why we allow soccer. It's not an American sport.
Wow.
We already have football. We don't need football.
Look at you. That's a weird weird hill to die on.
That's an odd take.
Well, it's not an odd take. We didn't have soccer when I was a kid, and it was just fine.
I had soccer when I was a kid.
Yeah, because they didn't have it in Sutherland, then it must not be good for anyone in America. Yeah,
that's right.
But so I've always wondered this, and I think I probably know the answer, but you as being a lineman and obviously one of the smartest people on the field, when you guys, you know, you're talking about, you know, talking smack to other athletes and stuff, when you line up across from somebody, like a defensive lineman, were you guys just talking smack back and forth?
I never talk smack. I hated people that talk smack.
Because you see a lot of that. I shouldn't say a lot of it, but you do see it where it's people are like, hey, I'm going to destroy you. Yeah, so I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I had a nice dinner with your mom and I did not leave a tip.
So even in college at BV, it was mainly small town, like farm kids on the team who all had the same type of coaches that were like, you let your shoulder pads do the talking.
Right.
You know, you don't need to line up and jaw at the guy. No, you take his ass out. And that's how you show him you're better than him. We don't need all this back and forth banter crap. Let your shoulder pads do the talking. So it really pissed us off when a lot of our other teams were that we played were from the other side of the state. And some of them had kids from all over the United States. And they, you know, grew up with the trash talk thing.
Right. Yep.
And they didn't mean anything by it. They were just having fun. But it pissed us off. And nothing made you feel better than some guy lining up over top of you, jawing at you, and then you just decleat his ass on the curb and not say a word. You get up and say nothing to him.
And that's the Caitlin Clark.
And yep, man. There. That took care of that, I guess.
Yep.
So I hate smack talk. It's become more of a thing
everywhere.
Even around here.
Well, it's social media.
It's hard for me as like a youth coach to
So when you
square that, but
so when Wyatt gets a little older and he hits a three and he puts his hand up with like the O with the three fingers,
his hand, he won't be able to do it next time because his arm will be in a sling. But, I'm exaggerating, but he'll get an ass chewing probably.
Yeah, you'll have none of that.
So, but social media has really amped that up because of course you're looking for your
game. Do the talking.
Yes,
act like you've been there. What? And isn't that even a cockier move to not even act like it's a big deal to drain a three and turn around and jog back down the court? Like, we do this every time. Who cares?
Yeah,
maybe. I don't need to make a big deal out of this.
Yeah, that's why I don't recommend that, because that is more cocky.
Yeah. Just
the less cockier version of holding up the three.
Just smile at him. That's all you got to do is just smile and run down the court.
It's tough. How much energy and celebration do you let kids have during a game? Mitch says not.
We talked a little bit off air that kids aren't coached the same way anymore, and you had also all said off air about how you're a big proponent of youth sports because they learn sports, they learn
teamwork.
Yes,
they learn. You're a big proponent of sports because they learn sports. Because they learn teamwork, the value of hard work and dedication. Mm-hmm.
They learn having to get up and be somewhere at 6 a.m.
Damn right.
That will not be taught unless you have chores in the morning, so you like have to milk 15 cows before you get on the bus, which I don't think anybody's doing anymore.
Probably not.
You're not going to learn anywhere else. You got to be there. Be at school by 6 a.m. Oh, by the way, it's a 27-mile drive.
You chose that, so I don't know that we can feel that sorry.
No, I'm not saying be sorry. I'm saying you're not going to teach that if it wasn't for sports.
What other avenue is there left that kids can participate in? There's other activities, of course, marching band and things like that.
That's a competition sport.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and I don't mean to take away from that.
And I would say FFA and 4-H do a good job of teaching that responsibility too.
The beauty of a small school is you can do all those things, and then you have to be responsible every day, not just 3 months of the year when you're in season on this particular thing.
Mm-hmm. I do think that I've said it out loud here that I think football is one of the things that stands in the way or is what will help a lot of boys become good men.
Football?
Football.
What is it about football that is going to make boys into men?
Good men. Because if they aren't picking it up anywhere else, football might be their last stop to have that opportunity.
Oh, you're saying that this might be like their
one chance.
Sure. I didn't realize that we were in the inner hoods of Chicago.
If they're not getting...
If their dad isn't doing a good job teaching, or maybe he's just non-existent, where are you going to learn the discipline and structure and the on time? If you're not getting chores at home anymore because all these appliances do it for you?
But how do you account for the fact that you can't... Mitch, you've said before, that's the kind of coach that I would run through a wall for, right? Because it was up and he was in your face, and the kind of guy that grab your face mask and say, what the heck are you doing, Geese, and call you a bunch of names. But you can't really do that anymore, can you?
I think you can. To an extent.
Yeah, well, it seems...
The coaches that I had didn't do that to everybody necessarily.
Right.
They did it to people they knew could take it. Mm. And they did it to people that they knew wanted to get better and that would motivate them to get pissed off. And the other people saw that and, didn't want to experience it, frankly, or saw that it could happen to somebody. And they would get on them the same way. But my favorite coach I ever had was the hardest one on me.
Yeah.
And I have sent him an email very recently thanking him for riding my ass, because I needed it. I was a teenager and my dad rode my ass, but I needed somebody else besides
somebody that you weren't related to.
And to that point, there's a guy from Sanborn and his boys all played football. He went to Western before there was football. And he said the only reason one of his boys made it through high school and didn't drop out was football.
Yeah.
He could ride his son's butt all day. His mom could too, about pulling your head out of your butt, doing your homework, keeping your grades up.
Because
he couldn't care less, but when football came around and he fell in love with it, he realized that he had to bust his butt with schoolwork to keep the grades up so he could play because he loved football.
Yeah.
And he credits football. And I would have thought that this guy would be like one of the people that would say, sports is too much. Too much effort. Too much is put into sports. And he's like, oh, no. In high school, that's what That's what kept my boy in line. I have no idea where he'd be today if it wasn't for football.
Well, then, and the coach I'm talking about probably drove a few people away, but they were the people that they were never going to come around anyway. And so are you going to sacrifice the good of the other guys on the team who did stick with it, who they helped mold into better men, to accommodate the people who really didn't give a crap or want to be there anyway? But we, hey, you know, we kept them on the team.
Yeah.
By accommodating their BS. The guys that didn't run hard, the guys that sauntered around all day, they didn't tolerate that. And they shouldn't, because that's not going to be tolerated anywhere else in your life.
And so now you get to a day and age today, and maybe it was the same back when you were playing, but you have people that are playing the sport because it's the only structured activity that they have, the only sense of normalcy, the only thing that's consistent in their lives. Heck, sometimes the only times they get fed, you know, in a day that's not a school day. So how do you go about, you know, verbally punching those guys in the face and without like trying to alienate them and make them feel like they're like that, you know, that you, whether it be lack of playing time or, you know, ostracizing them because they aren't fitting the mold that you think that they should fit in? Or is it a matter of, I'm going to try to make you the best version of you, even if I can't use you on the field?
Well, I wouldn't say any of that precludes you from being good at football or following a coach's instructions.
Well, your background, your upbringing. There's talent.
Oh, yeah.
But if you don't
saying a poor kid can't be talented?
No. What I'm saying is, what if a poor kid isn't talented, but still the football is the only thing that is like a constant?
It's no different than managing people in your business. You adapt your coaching style a little bit to accommodate people's personalities. You have to.
So at what point do you say, well, you know,
but that doesn't mean you lower your standards.
Well, yeah, so that's a tough,
when it comes to conduct and when it comes to effort, you can lower your standards on performance, because I mean, it's freaking high school football. You have to. Okay. So that's not the point. The point is, There is nothing about your upbringing or who you are, or who your parents are, or all these extenuating circumstances that everybody wants to make excuses for, that preclude you from giving an honest effort. So, and maybe when you come in as a freshman, you don't have that quality in you yet. But that doesn't mean that you can't be built up to that by being a little bit hard on you.
Okay. Well, I don't know that I would actually take umbrage with the being hard on someone. What I wonder about is when you have, let's just say, you know, take kind of the Friday Night Lights example of a small town. You know, it's usually high school football that everyone really gets behind, really rallies around. It's a short season. There's only a few games. So you've got some players that are wanting to be part of this because they're wanting to be part of a family and they're interested in the sport, but they're not talented really enough, or at least as talented as the rest of the people on the field. Do you sacrifice your program to try and accommodate these people because you want to be inclusive? Or is there a point where you have to kind of like cut it off and be like, hey, no, look, we'd love to, man, but you can be part.
They don't cut anyone. You're still part of the program.
Doesn't Western cut a lot of people from basketball?
Lately, no.
Maybe back in the day they had to.
Back in the day, yeah.
But the numbers don't require them to do that any longer. On a football team, you don't cut anyone. In college, we didn't cut anyone. We didn't have a roster limit at Division III football. You wanted everybody on the team because you needed people to practice against.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
There were tons of kids at a private school who were only there. They were poor kids from a small town. Most of my buddies were poor kids from small town Southwest Iowa. And the reason they even went to college was because they still wanted to play football. Then they made it all the way through. Half of them never played, but they made it all the way through college, got a degree, ended up, you know, better off than their parents were because of that.
Were they okay with them playing?
Yeah.
I mean, when that's like your only thing that you want to do is play football, but you never see the field when the lights are on.
You go and play college ball. You have 100 built-in friends.
And I think when you get to the college level, you have a different mindset than you do when you're a freshman.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
When
yeah.
you're a freshman, yeah. I want to play. And as you go as a sophomore, junior, and senior, you realize that there's more going on in a team than minutes on the court.
Yep.
And then, like at Western, there are guys like this other dad told me, he said, you look at him and you look at him. Both them guys understand they will never see a minute of playing time unless they're up by 40. But they know that every day they come out and do practice, the fact that they are there practicing makes that team the success that it is. Oh, yeah, I guess I never thought of that. And those boys love that. Mm-hmm. They suit up just like the rest of them, and they sit on the bench, and they cheer their buddies on. But they don't sit there thinking, maybe in a minute I'll get in. No, they think we're part of this team, and our team's going to win this game. And that was a big piece of the work this week we put in to winning this game.
So let me ask you this, Aaron. Would the same be true if the team was not winning?
And it'd be a harder sell.
Yeah, right?
Of course, it's more fun to win.
Everybody loves a winner.
But at the same time...
Then coddling the people who don't really want to be there or don't care doesn't breed winning, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You got to walk this fine line between being accommodating enough that you don't alienate everybody, but also holding the standard high enough that you at least have a moderate level of success.
I think
because nobody wants to get their ass kicked all the time.
We have to bring somebody in here and visit with them, do a one segment with like a coach, a successful coach.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, it would.
And because I think it would be interesting to say, well, how do you handle that? Your questions, how do you handle that? And here we are, you're talking from past experience. We've had the last 25 minutes talking about football. I've never touched a football in my life other than in a backyard or driveway. And I'm assuming you're probably the same
100%,
way.
100%. Yep.
Well, to be fair, I didn't get to touch the football in games either.
But he got my to touch a lot of men.
All right. Weird, but...
Not false.
Yeah.
Smartest guy in the field.
No, I was robbed. The one time in my life I got to touch the football.
Fumble!
I scooped up a fumble in the backfield. We were playing against Cherokee. I think I was a junior in high school.
Did you know which end zone you were supposed to run into?
Oh, and I was so far ahead of everybody. I mean, but we were like 60 yards away. And I would have been fine, but the other team had a guy who won state track in the 100 meters. And that son of a freaking dragged me down like 10 yards from glory. I was so pissed. My one opportunity ever.
I thought you were going to tell me that your brother like had a holding call or something back on the other side of the field.
No, that would have been worse.
Yeah, that would have been worse.
Back, yeah.
We're going to bring that all the way back.
Mitch would have had to go on oxygen and sit out the next three plays.
But you could hear the crowd. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Yeah. Did you know he was coming behind you? Did you do the turn and look?
Did you hear the footsteps?
I could. The kid was super fast.
And you were an offensive lineman.
Oh crap!
Fastest lineman, but that is not as fast as a state 100 meter champion. I can tell you that.
When you went to college, did you do like the what's your 40 time and like the stuff that they do for like
that
combine?
In high school?
Oh, you do that too. Okay.
Yeah, in college it's a little more official. You have electronic timing and stuff, but we did all that.
So you're
multiple times a year.
Your 40 time was in the tens?
It was sub 5. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was adequate.
Adequate. Yep. You know, sometimes that's all we can hope for. Just like this podcast, it's adequate. You know, these nuts would call it adequate. It's
been a long time since we've heard from him.
I know.
And Wayne's still hung up on it, obviously.
Well, to be honest, I haven't checked our Apple reviews.
I did actually recently, and we haven't gotten very many.
Okay,
which is better? Actually,
it's fine.
Hooray!
But if anybody's listening and wants to give us 5 stars, I mean, we would accept.
Yep, we'll
this
do
is
that.
Like, I'll be like when you purchase a vehicle, they'll be like, oh, I mean, we're going to need you to give 5 out of 5 or just don't even bother. Because if you don't give us 5 out of 5 here.
Please call me.
Yeah.
Please call me right now.
If you're not going to, give me
a call. Which is true. I've been on the dealership side of that.
If you're not going to give me everything, just don't turn anything in.
So it is a four, a slap in the face?
It is a failing grade.
John Deere calls.
Wow.
He looks at his ID and it says Waterloo, Iowa. What a broken
system.
Yep, yep. I remember getting a call from my boss. What the hell happened with this deal that you sold this planter to this guy? I'm like, I don't know. Everything went well. It was fine. He's like, he gave you all fours.
Oh,
that means you forgot to tell him.
I forgot to tell him.
I need all fives.
Yeah.
So if you can see, you were clear.
Yeah, but some people are like, I ain't giving anybody all fives. I'm like, then don't give me anything.
Please.
Yeah. Please. As a matter of fact,
let me take that card from you. You don't need this. If you
think I did a good job, but won't give me all fives, don't do anything.
Just throw it away.
Mm-hmm. No, what you should do is say, all right, if you think I did a good job and I got all fives, you go to this link. If you think that maybe there's some improvement and have some suggestions, go to this link that goes directly to the trash.
It predated me working there, but the dealer that I worked for back in the day, at one time, it was like end of the year. They needed to get their scores up.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked people, bring in your survey card with all five stars and you get a free leather jacket.
Nice.
But you had to like bring it to the store so that they could see it and then send it in on your behalf.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you got to. Like they needed it that badly. They're like, look, we're running it.
This is dollars.
I think you had to run like 4.5 or higher. Anything below that was considered failing. And they were at like 4.3 and they're like, we need five stars on every freaking thing for the next 2 months. Our budget is
10 grand on leather jackets.
That's right.
Seriously.
It's all advertising. Their advertising budget's crazy, but I mean, they're running 4.5, so I guess it's okay. And we'll be back in segment 3 after this.
So excited for a Friday. Oh
my goodness, we made plans together.
Oh, wow.
It's like it's my birthday. Oh, wait.
I got a meeting in the morning. But as long as that's done on time, this is happening.
Oh, we're going to go.
I'm going to bug out early. I'm going to be like, I got an appointment.
I got to see a client. Aaron's a client, right? I mean, anyone underneath the Iowa State umbrella is a client. And
potential client.
Yeah, that's where you put, values matter, where people come first, where home is where the heart is. Have I hit your tagline yet?
Iowa State Bank, we're ready for you.
Ready for me.
Yep.
We're ready for you to bounce that check.
Apologize to Daddy Vogel on that one.
Quit. Quit. Just stop.
I haven't talked about poop yet, so I had to do something. So, did we... I'm trying to remember if we talked about last time the organizational gal...
Oh, the event that your wife went to?
Yes, with your wife.
No, I don't think we talked about that.
So, there was this gal. Well, I guess you know more of the background. Maybe you can tell the story about who this gal is, right?
Well, yeah. So, for Christmas, Greta asked for a gift certificate from my mother for this. What's the name of it now
again? Proper Place.
Proper Place.
Yeah.
It's a gal out of Orange City. And what she does is... you hire her to come to your home, and it's kind of like Marie Kondo, if you're familiar with the TV show. Yep. You know, if it doesn't bring you any joy, you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does that at your home. So you pay so much per hour.
What? I could do that. I think any of us could do it. We're getting there. I think I could, but it would not be taken as well.
It would not be taken as well by someone like my wife or your wife, if I'm like, throw that crap out. Who needs it?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure I said the exact same thing.
Even if it's not the husband doing it,
he's
if it's
talking another
Aaron. Aaron, shut up. My wife is going to listen to this. Mitch, tell the story about who this gal is.
So anyway, she will come to your home. And like, we're not perfect. We're fairly organized, but we have areas in our house.
You're 98%.
No, I would say less 97. Than that. But we had some areas of the house.
96.5.
We got a storage room in the basement that, you know.
It's got Rubbermaid tubs in it. Everything has a place.
Not everything does. And it needed to be sorted through. There just got to be too much stuff. Even if it was kind of organized, it was like, it's starting to overflow. Greta's like, it's just kind of overwhelming to think about. And I got to go through all this stuff. and I want somebody to help me get rid of it because I have a hard time doing that.
And you said, I want me.
Well,
pick me.
Yeah, no, it's better that I wasn't there. and so she got this gift certificate for my mom. This gal came, spent 3 or 4 hours.
Your mom? Greta's mother-in-law gave her
it. She asked. Greta asked for it.
What?
Okay.
Right. And you're thinking, and you're still married? Your mom gave your wife organizational lessons? To an
Lori's a saint!
So she comes to our house and basically goes through everything, like quizzes you on it. Okay, so this pan, when was the last time you used it? Well, I don't know. But
you're probably
in
the last house.
But honestly, some of it. She's like, but, you know, we have used it and we could use it again. She's like, okay, so if we get rid of it, if we donate it or throw it away or whatever we do with it, and 5 years from now you decide you really would like to have one again, will it be a financial hardship for you to buy another $10 pan? Well, probably not. Okay,
gone.
So then it goes and like creates a pile of all this stuff and it has to go
on the driveway
and she hauls it away for you. She doesn't even leave it there and like, okay, so now whenever you have time, go donate it because that'll never freaking happen.
Yes.
It'll go back into the house.
I got home as they were finishing up the session and I helped. Gladly help
what is
carry
she like I've got a van that a carpet layer used to use, 17 feet long.
She had like a Ford Explorer. She made multiple trips to the village treasure chest.
It ain't even full, I'm done.
I'll be back in a couple minutes.
And the stuff that you said you were gonna throw away, she helped haul it to your trash can with you.
Wow. So
who is this woman?
Right. So
I don't know her name.
We heard about it. And so Greta
Greta had experience with this. And Greta does these life and leisure classes she's in charge of, which is all like adult ed stuff. So like, you want to learn how to cook? Come to the pavilion.
Right.
Greta will show you how.
Yes. No, Greta will hire someone to show you how.
Yes. Oh, yes. Even better.
She knew this gal, and she's like, I bet there's a lot of people out there who could use somebody like this. We're going to put on an event and have her come. Yes. And I think they had pretty good turnout, including Becky.
Yep. And Becky came back, and she was just like, holy crap, this woman was awesome. She was just filled with high praise. And I'm just thinking, boy, I didn't really know much about like the experience that you had prior to this. She was just going through all of the like the stuff that they talked about, you know, these theories and then how what you should do and this and that. So we get to the point where we go to the Twins home opener. Well, at least some of us do that didn't have a sour tum tum.
I had bad poops.
Did you actually?
Gross.
Did you actually
No, we don't.
Well, he was out fencing the next day.
The next day.
Yes, everything
was fine.
He missed our annual opening day event. The one thing that we schedule a year, he missed because, oh, I got a sour tum tum. Okay, T-Lam.
No, it's because Mitch didn't want an accident in his truck.
Gotta go right now. Glad you didn't go, though, because that would have been miserable for you.
It would have been. Yes.
That wouldn't have been fun. Like, if you're like me, I very rarely get the flu. And when I do, I feel awful.
That's when you know where home is.
That's what Greta says.
Where do you want to be when you have that? That's home.
Yeah. You don't want to be in a pickup for 7 hours.
No.
I'm thinking, what would we have done? Stopped at a hotel and dropped you off? And, you know, well, we'll pick you up on the way home. Fine.
So anyhow, you guys are on this trip.
So we're on this trip, and I don't know, maybe the deal was like the day before. It might have been the week before, but whatever. So we talked about this class, and that's when I learned that, like, oh, no, the whole reason behind this gal is that you can hire her to come to your home, and she takes the crap with her. And I said, what?
He knows why now.
And I said, and then it's light bulb. I could buy a gift certificate like Lori Geese did.
For your anniversary.
Say it's from your mom.
No. No. Happy Mother's Day. No, happy Christmas to Wayne Barahona. It doesn't matter. Like, so I'm chewing on this idea. By the way, great game. Weather turned out decent. It could have been better. We had a couple of underage kids try to get us to go hang out with them and buy cocaine. It was a weird deal.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought I looked the type.
I don't think I do. Hey, man, you want to go out? Maybe go to strippers and, you know, find some, you know, yeah. Like, No, none of those things are we going to do.
If you thought that was going to entice me to come along and buy you beer, you are wrong.
Then he's like, well, hey, look, I got dad's credit card. I'm like, well, good for you. Yeah. Enjoy rehab. Anyway. So I have this epiphany, thanks to Mitch. I'm like, my life. I'm thinking, how bad is it
that your life is going to change? Mitch improved by 3.5%.
Think of Mitch with socks on the counter, and someone comes to take those socks off. That's
great relief.
That's how much my life would improve.
I don't think Wayne is totally guilt-free here.
Oh, that's the impression I was getting.
No,
you're part of the problem?
I have roughly 2 Rubbermaid totes of life that is in storage. I mean, other than
and
like...
And the rest is Becky's.
Mm-hmm. No, the rest...
I mean, look at his pristine office. And you will see that this man could have... No way could he have more than 2 totes of... junk sitting around.
Yeah.
I don't have junk. I have memorabilia. I do. It's just, it's never moved.
Your totes?
It has a coat of dust on it. It's memorabilia, though.
It was on the wall so long, it finally fell down.
A Stanley.
Oh, an old 6-in-1.
Hey, that's where the 6-in-1
screwdriver. Collector's item.
But it's in a Minnesota Twins bucket. Because I was probably going to use that for something at some point.
Is that like a bucket they sold beer in?
I feel like Joe Nellis gave us that, or gave me that.
Oh, I can see you value the gift that he gave you. It's been sitting in the same spot on the floor for 7 years.
I got a plan for
right
it.
Next
I got a plan.
To your dirty pair of shorts.
That's a shirt, but nonetheless. Oh, do you want to pick it up?
No, I don't. Unless you have a pair of tongs.
So anyway, you know, yes, those in glass houses. So I you know, get back home and we were kind of talking over the weekend and I'm like, so I had this idea, but you won't do it because you're too scared. Oh yeah.
That's what you said.
Oh yeah. You said, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to buy you a gift certificate for this proper place thing. She's like, oh yeah? Well, guess what? I'd like it. Oh yeah? Then I'm gonna buy 2. Buy 4. Okay. And now I'm like $500 in debt, but I can't wait.
You spent the money.
No, I haven't yet.
No. Soon and very soon.
You better strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. Especially when my wife finally gets around to listen to this one. But nonetheless.
You better go home and hire her
a couple days
now. Because then...
That's an interesting...
You've already paid.
Well, no, because I'll still pay. And my wife, bless her heart, is Dutch. She would be too polite to tell her no.
And once you buy the gift certificate, there's no cash value anymore.
That's true.
It has to be used.
The cash is
to
gone.
To get any value from that piece of paper.
That's true.
You have no choice but to do it. When you buy it, ask her for a gift certificate that expires.
Oh, yeah.
Because that just really puts the pressure on the Dutch person.
That's right.
This is only good for 30 days, right?
Oh, I need to go to my planner and readjust every day to be sure this gift certificate gets used on time.
Wasn't it the last time you were at that steakhouse in Lamar's? Yeah. Archie's. You were like
exactly
on the
one
day.
And depending, I mean, it was probably going to have to go to the Supreme Court whether it was going to be like honored or not.
Because it could be on that day
or was it expired?
After. Yeah. Did it expire at midnight that day or did you have the full day in which to use
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. Thankfully, we had a waitress that.
Yes, we've seen your kind in here before.
Oh, wow. It expires soon.
Does this cover tip to...
It does not.
Oh, I didn't bring any cash.
I'll
get you next time.
We tipped.
All right. So we're about to, you know, it's already 90 degrees out. You're about to embark on your favorite time of year, which is farming.
Done a little farming this week already. Some tilling. Prepping the soil for the seed. Tomorrow, put some seed in the soil.
Nail it.
A little rain on it.
Are you nailing? Knifing.
Drilling.
Nailing?
It's all very aggressive.
Carpentry.
And so, yeah, coming back from Ames yesterday, they were planters out by Fort Dodge. Mm-hmm. So Mitch went... When do you figure? Are you another three, four weeks out? Oh, next week already?
Oh, there's fields planted down by Marcus.
Are there? Okay. Yeah. Is it just warmer there or just less?
The soil temp would be warmer. They didn't have the amount of snow we did. And it's been generally warmer in that area.
And the grass is green in Ames.
It
was crazy. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, we get a little rain and a nice sunny day on sunny and 70 degrees on Monday. Everything's going to take off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Looking for my. This is my favorite time of year.
Amen.
It's about a month late, but it's here.
It's finally, boy. Did it come in fast?
Yep.
It came running through that door, Kramer style.
Yeah. We get our 3 weeks of spring and then it's summertime.
The amount of air conditioner calls we've had over the last 3 days is so dumb.
Oh, I suppose.
I have no time to give air conditioner right now. There is no way
to like break them in. It's just, Katie bar the door and good luck.
Three guys on vacation today.
Why?
And tomorrow.
Why?
Because we have
Why
that
do you
many
allow
people.
That?
Because April is a
what do you
typically
mean allow
a
that?
Perfect time to no, take vacation.
That's a vacation request. A vacation request can be approved or denied.
Here you go.
Based on
if
staffing.
If I would tell my one employee, sorry, you can't be gone because somebody else is going to be gone. Because
two other people are gone?
Because they could take a drive down 10 miles any direction and be working in 1 hour.
But that's when you tell them I got a stack of applications
and
that's
as big of a lie as I could ever tell. No, when guys say they're going to be gone, you just say, thanks for the heads up. It's nicer than calling me the morning of, and you deal with it.
Wow, what a world in which we live anymore.
But like I said, April is the perfect
time.
You
can use the benefits that you offered them?
Wait a second.
I can't believe
I can't have everybody in my branch gone at the same time.
And you also can't call your boss and be like, yeah, I'm going to be gone for the next 3 days tomorrow, right?
I probably could.
Oh.
Well, as long as I have my stuff covered, why would I not?
But you can pre-do your work, is what you're saying? You've got guys doing billable hours, that doesn't work.
No, it does not work that way. When you try and schedule things.
Wayne, you've never worked at a normal business.
What do you mean by that?
You haven't. You worked at the radio station.
I worked at Burger King.
The two worst jobs. I mean,
I've never had a real job.
I'm not going to do that just because I just don't feel like coming in for 3 days. But if something came up where I couldn't come in for 3 days, I wouldn't be like, sorry. Guess your kid's going to be in the hospital by himself because we got crap to do at the bank.
You said the magic word, could not. You couldn't be in because of an emergency. You couldn't just say, you know what? Spur of the moment, kids and I were going to the Dells. See ya. How would that be looked upon?
It's going to air file.
If it was like Wednesday, like, you know what? Kids and I got a wild hair. Going to be gone Thursday, Friday, Monday. See ya.
I honestly don't think it would matter.
Oh, boy. So what you're saying is you don't do any actual work. All the work is done by your subordinates.
No. See, we actually have enough people working there to where someone can be gone and it's not an absolute crisis where the owner has to go home and drink 8 gin and tonics because someone.
Wow. Where are we going with this?
Lord have 8
knees. I mean, you're not part of the normal world where, well, crying out loud, some guy decided to be sick today and it ruined everything for everybody. You couldn't handle that? Like, that's on you, man. I'm sorry, but it's on you.
There's a difference between calling in sick for a day versus not calling in at all and being gone versus taking several days off with 8 hours notice, right?
I've never done that.
Okay.
I've said, you know what? It's Friday. I don't have a lot. I've got all my stuff done. I think I'm going to take the afternoon.
You've never had a real job where your hours are billable.
Thank you.
Baloney.
Who's got the real job here? Hashtag service-based industry for the win.
White collar.
That's right.
You can probably work from home too, loser.
No, I can't work.
Loser. What really started it was years ago when we had the conversation of people asking for time off versus telling you they're going
Wayne
to be gone.
Wayne wants you to beg and be deferential.
It's absolutely not. So, no.
Sir, I will
Mr.
say
this. No, I must leave 5 minutes early to make my child's piano recital. Is that okay?
No.
Install one more camera.
No. I have
7 employees. You're done. Out of those 7, 2 will come and propose it as a question. 5 will just write it on the board and assume it's fine. And I'm okay with both, but that's a different understanding.
Well, if it wasn't fine, you would tell them that, right?
And then what would they do?
I got a stack of applications this...
Oh, wait. I don't.
Well, you don't have to threaten to fire them.
No, they would... If you would be threatening to fire them.
If you have set the expectation that, all right, look, at any given time, unless it's an emergency, I can't really have more than half the staff gone. You know, we can accommodate things if they come up. We're not going to be unreasonable about it, but... Well, we understand emergencies happen. Things happen.
Like bachelor parties.
No, exactly.
But with the proper prior
emergencies
notice.
Emergencies happen. 100%.
Even if it happened to be 60% of your staff wanted to be gone on the same Friday, if you knew it far enough in advance and could plan for it.
Yes. If you knew it far enough in advance and could plan for it. But when they tell you the week of...
Does everybody do that at the same time or is it one person?
No, I mean, it happens...
If one person does that and it totally upsets the apple cart, that's a you problem.
I don't think so.
What would have happened... Take the legitimacy of the excuse out of it. What would have happened?
Well, what would have happened is we would have survived. And we do. And we persevere. However... When did society switch from asking for a day off versus telling for a day off?
Yeah, well, I know you well enough to know that asking for a day off is usually going to be met with a why. Tell me. Make your case as to why you deserve the day off.
Absolutely not. I can tell you with extreme certainty that I have never I have never denied anyone a day off. However, the amount of times that time off is given is I bet there's 25 to 30% where it was asked and the rest is told. Yeah, that's my problem. I allow it to happen. Okay, yep, I guess that's on me. But at the same time,
this guy sucks. I mean, you just not wanted to go see a concert that I learned about last night, and you won't let me go.
Well, is it always the day before? Because that's where
that's what I'm complaining about. I'm not complaining about people taking time off, period. I'm complaining about, like, hey, look, we still have to run a business, and you can't just... decide that you're going to be gone today. But either way, whether this stays on tape or not, it's still good therapy.
That's true.
That's what you want to call it.
Well, come on, you have the meme. You showed me the meme.
What?
Normal people do therapy and the others have podcasts.
Have podcasts. Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I'm glad we worked out those feelings, Wayne.
I still have them, but it's fine. I'll learn to deal with them one day at a time. Proper place consulting? Maybe she can be. Oh, maybe
she can be a sponsor.
Get her on the podcast.
A sponsor?
Maybe. Yeah. Yes. Maybe.
Why did we? Let's you go. Need to beep maybe. Out every time we used her business name.
I know. For her sponsorship, she can clean up this hellhole.
That would actually be like a fun.
Well, we'd have to give her like 14 episodes, but.
You gotta wonder
this toilet.
But
when is this toilet?
Does this bring you joy? If it brings you joy, there's something wrong with you.
But do you wonder with someone like that, there has to be like a psychology aspect to it, right? Because you have to understand that people are like attached to things for maybe unrealistic reasons, or like you're delving into some sort of like, well, it's from my childhood, and that's the only thing.
I'm sure she probably gets home and her husband says, "How was today?" And she probably just that was a shit show.
Exactly. Lady was crazy.
yeah, I can only
that
imagine.
That was bad. Glad to be done with that one. Hopefully tomorrow's better.
That idea of the having someone that is the somewhat Marie Kondo and less, sounds like she's like a little less emotional about it and a little more realistic. That seems all right. I can get behind that. And so we'll do the podcast sponsorship for my house.
Okay.
All right. I was no resistance, huh? All right.
No.
Just I gotta go to the bathroom.
Thank you, 7-year-old Aaron.
I feel like that needs to replace the "I didn't contribute anything" as a clip.
You might be right.
I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta go potty.
So remember, sponsorships are available by hitting us up. $50 and a beer of our choosing-ish. But until next time, we'll see you.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa down. The big lick they called Gitche-Gumee. The lick, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
I gotta go to the bathroom.